morning. This is the last oral case to be presented to the Court of Appeals panel today, April 17. We have two attorneys that, thank you, are appearing by ITV. A bit of warning. The sound overlap that's coming back to the Judicial Center off of the monitors has quite a bit of feedback. And if you cough or you move or you wiggle papers, it is very loud on our end. We don't know what the problem is with the ITV. But even something as small as just moving a paper aside creates a distraction. So I just so that you know that, and you can, what I'm trying to say is stand stock still, don't smile, just speak. With that said, I'm going to have our marshal call the next case for hearing. Before we hear from appellant counsel, just a check. Mr. Gust, you are representing the respondent. Can you hear me?
I can, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Then appellant counsel, please introduce yourself and indicate which party you're speaking on behalf of, and you may begin your argument.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Roger Justin from the Rinke Noonan firm, and I represent Minnesota National Bank in this matter. There are two issues that need to be resolved in this appeal. The answer to the first one will be dependent on the answer to the second one. So the first question is, does Axia have a valid and enforceable mechanics lien against the property? If the answer is yes, they win. If it's not, they lose. The resolution of that first question depends on the answer to the second. And that is whether the property we are talking about was in agricultural use at the start of construction. That determination will drive whether that lien is valid or not. Briefly, to set the stage for those arguments, the timeline of the significant events is as follows. John and Linda Grefsrud bought this property from Michael Johnson in October of 2014. Michael Johnson had farmed that property for years, and he had farmed it in 2014 when he had planted and harvested a soybean crop. After he sold it, he had no intention of planting that crop again or planting that particular land again. In the spring of 2015, the Grefsruds had not started construction on their hotel yet, and they asked Mr. Johnson if he would like to plant it again. And he said yes, and he planted a crop of soybeans on May 24th, 2015, and he cared for them over the summer, sprayed them, and harvested them on September 23rd, 2015. The Grefsruds started construction on the hotel on October 26, 2015, which was 33 days later. And at that time, there was still stubble from the recently harvested soybeans on the field, as well as some straggler soybeans around stakes that Mr. Johnson had to drive around. Now, the reason that that is important is because this case is a mechanics lien case. Axia is trying to enforce its mechanics lien, and mechanics liens are strictly creatures of statute. Their validity, enforceability, priority is all laid out in the statutes in Section 514. One of the things that a mechanics lien claimant has to do as a general rule is to give the property owner pre-lien notice. The requirements for that are set out in Section 514.011. And that notice...
If I may, because I think the panel is familiar with the lien requirements, but I'm just looking at the exception language, and I know you are saying, look, this was in agricultural use. But is the other part of the exception under subdivision 4C, which talks about is an improvement to real property, the 5,000 feet, and does not involve the construction of a new building, would you agree that part of the exception is met?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Just reading this, it was not clear if this was involved in new building or not.
Right. But the key to that analysis is if you look at the agricultural use part, that occurs on at the beginning of subdivision 4C. So the exceptions in small A, B, and C only come involved if it's not in agricultural use.
So you're just saying you don't get to that under your approach?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
So my question, Mr. Justin, is does it matter that, you know, the purpose of the pre-lien notice is to protect the property owners, in this case the Greffsroods, it seems, and that Mr. Johnson had no ownership interest in this property. He did farm it that year, but the Greffsroods weren't involved in any sort of agricultural operation. And so does it matter that it was that the Greffsroods weren't involved in any agricultural operation in terms of our analysis here?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. If you look at the definition of agricultural use in 473H, which is specifically referred to in the mechanics lien statute, it just talks about an agricultural use being the production of agricultural commodities for sale. There's nothing in it that says the owner has to do it. There's nothing saying it can't be a renter or anyone else. So I think, especially when you're talking about the amount of land, agricultural land that's rented in the state of Minnesota, it makes sense that they're just focusing on the use of the land and not who is using it.
Now, even if I accept that, Mr. Justin, my concern is, isn't this vacant land, and doesn't Ryan just say vacant land is not considered in agricultural use? Why wouldn't we just say this land was vacant, the harvest was completed?
Because I believe that overstates what is meant by vacant. In Ryan, it's not entirely clear what the status of the land was, but at a point, rather than vacant, they talk about it being raw and undeveloped. And in this case, it is certainly not raw land because it has been farmed. It's not undeveloped. And I think if you go to the logical extreme and to say, okay, it is vacant land, so that's the use being vacant land, you'd never be in a situation where a harvested crop, it wouldn't be vacant for a minute or a second or an hour. I mean, if you can say once the crop is off, it is now vacant land, it just defies common sense to say, okay, that would apply to hundreds of farms throughout Minnesota that harvest their crops, let them lay fallow till spring, and then harvest again.
Doesn't that then get us to where we need to look at the intent, about whether there was the intent to continue agricultural use of this land, which is, I think, what you're telling us we shouldn't be looking at?
I am telling you that the Supreme Court has told us that we do not look at intent. In Ryan, the Court of Appeals said, yeah, it makes sense. We're going to look at the intent of what the finished product is going to be. And they said the intention was to develop it for residential and commercial, therefore it wasn't a valid lien. When it went up to the Supreme Court directly looked at that question, and they parsed the statute saying these are the rules of grammatical construction, and they say, no, the in-use part refers just to the use at that on the day or right before the day construction starts. You do not look for the intent of what the proposed development would be. And I believe that is what Axia is arguing, that you have to look at intent. I believe the district court looked at that and said we have to look at the intent, but I believe the Supreme Court has clearly stated that is not what you do. And in light of that, too, the other thing I believe that the district court relied on was to say, okay, there was no intent to farm that in the future, and it wasn't zoned agricultural. And again, I have to point back to 473H.02, where it talks about agricultural use. It talks about the physical use of the property. It does not refer to anything involving zoning. It would have been quite easy if the legislature had wanted to say any land that is zoned agricultural needs to have pre-lien notice. But it didn't say that. Instead, it chose the terms agricultural use, which broadens the, well, could potentially broaden the number of land that is available to be considered agriculturally used rather than agriculturally zoned. So if you do not use the intent of the developer, and if you don't rely on zoning, what is it that you rely on? And I have to say that it's as basic as it can be. You have to look at the property, and then you have to say, what is that property? And I believe that anyone who would have looked at that property in mid to late October and asked, what is that? They would say, that's a soybean field. That is not vacant land. It's not development land. It's a soybean field. And to have a visible requirement that you look at that property to determine what it is consistent with what the statute allows or requires in other situations. Under 5.1405, it talks about the priority of various claims to the properties, and the priority is controlled by the first visible improvement to the property. And cases have said there's a requirement for lenders and mortgagors to actually look at the property to determine the status of it. And that's all we're saying that has to happen in this case as well. That if you look at that property, you will be able to see that it is a field. It is not something which can vary between being farmland and then all of a sudden it's vacant land. And then come spring, when planting comes again, it again becomes farmland. So you have that conundrum of what is required. There's nothing in the statutes would say. You have to ask the developer, what is the intent of this project so we know what's going on? Those are absent from the statutes. I believe that what has to be looked at is what a normal person would feel that property is at the time construction starts. And if that normal person says that's a field, then the required notice must be given. And absent any questions from the panel, that's what I'd have.
Thank you. You'll still have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. We're going to turn now then to Clay County.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Mike Gus. I'm with the Anderson, Bottrell, Sannon, and Thompson law firm in Fargo, North Dakota. And I represent the respondent in this matter, Axia Contracting, Inc. As found on Addendum A8, the district court correctly ruled, and I quote, further, when one looks at the use of the subject property land on the date the lien attached, October 26, 2015, the land was not actively being used as agricultural land after September 23rd, 2015. Therefore, between September 23rd and October 26th, 2015, the land was passively vacant and zoned commercial. So no pre-lien notice was required. In reaching this conclusion, the district court correctly applied the exception to pre-lien notice found in Minnesota Statute 514.011, Subdivision 4, as well as correctly followed the rule of law explained by the Minnesota Supreme Court in Ryan Contracting Company versus O'Neill and Murphy.
So, Mr. Gust, I must say I am a little concerned about the implications of taking that approach. And doesn't that mean that for agricultural land, you know, during the winter when it's not being actively, you know, used, that people could then say, well, it's not in agriculture use, so we don't have to abide by these pre-lien requirements? I mean, is that really the direction that we think the legislature wanted us to head here?
Your Honor, I don't think that's the breadth of the scope of our argument, nor do I think that's applicable in this case, and here's why.
I understand in the event doesn't apply here, possibly, but I mean, we need to think about how this sort of ruling would be applied.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And Minnesota National Bank raises the doomsday scenario that, you know, hundreds and hundreds, if not, frankly, millions of acres of farmland would be affected by that. But that ignores the obvious fact that in Minnesota, some land is zoned agricultural. This is a hotel project that was constructed. You could not put a hotel on agriculturally zoned land. So, no, agricultural land that is zoned ag land, when you take the field off, it still is zoned agricultural land, and therefore agricultural in nature and commercial development could not occur. The distinction in this case, and which the Ryan Court recognized, is that municipalities have the right to zone real estate within their borders as they see fit. And Dunn Township, Your Honor, for one moment, if I may, I'm getting a lot of feedback here. Can the panel hear me?
I didn't want to interrupt your argument, but there's a lot of feedback that's coming, presumably from Stearns County, and if you could try to stay still and be silent, it would help.
Picking up, Your Honor, thank you, is Dunn Township made the decision that this would be zoned commercial property. In Dunn Township, commercial property authorized agricultural use. But agricultural use in this instance ceased at the time that that crop was removed. And ironically, Minnesota National Bank.
I'm going to ask if anyone is near the podium in Stearns County to step away because the microphone is picking up on everything that's coming from that podium.
Is it still happening?
Not now.
In Ryan Contracting, the Supreme Court looked at multiple issues that were raised in that case. With respect to the issue of in use in that case, the court spent really roughly only two pages discussing that. And they spent a majority of that time talking about the fact that municipalities have the right to govern land use in their counties. And they also spent a significant amount of time with respect to deciding what was active use as well as passive use. Minnesota National Bank, in its initial brief, as well as its reply, has frankly simply skipped over the idea that land has both active and passive uses. To Your Honor's point, we don't have to worry about that ag land isn't ag land after the fact, because this was commercial land with a Dunn Township permitted use of agricultural use. Once, and the agricultural use is defined as, for this case, the production of crops. Once the production of crops stopped, that agricultural use ended. The land was still zoned commercial, and the land went back into a passive state, zoned commercial, which would not require that pre-lien notice be provided. And I think it's extremely relevant in looking at the facts of this case that counsel argued that if anybody went out there, they would see that this was a soybean field. That's incorrect. First off, every single issue then in a case would be a question of fact, and you'd have to get multiple people to come in to testify to say, what did I see? That can't possibly be what the Minnesota legislature intended in this instance. And I apologize. One more quick break. I no longer see you guys. I hope you can still hear me and see me.
We can hear you just fine. A little bit of background noise, but we can hear everything you're saying.
Okay. Second, the issue is, what is the use of that land? And he said you could see that it was done this way. Well, you wouldn't, because the Ryan Court was specific in its instruction. Mechanics liens attach the instance that material or labor is supplied. That's in by statute at 514.05. And so when that happened, there was no crop on this field. Now, multiple, you know, areas of ag land are developed constantly. And the mere fact that there's stubble in the field doesn't say we're using this for production. There is no ag stubble production going on. The production, undisputably in this case, was the harvesting of soybeans. That was completed on September 23rd, 2015, over a month before construction started on this case. What this case really boils down to is the idea of what in use is. In use is defined by Merriam-Webster Dictionary as being used. In the Ryan decision, the Minnesota Supreme Court looked at the American Heritage Dictionary for its definition of use. They cited it as being the act of using something, the application, employment of something for a purpose. In the context of Ryan contracting, the court also considered the definition of residential because that was the exception they were looking at. And they defined residential as relating to or having residence. And so the court concluded that the phrase residential use means used for residential purposes. In the context of this case, under Minnesota Statute 473H.02 Subdivision 3, agricultural use, although it has many applicable areas, in this case, is for the production for sale of essentially crops. This is a present tense analysis. It's a determination of what is going on at that time. The statute does not look at how the property has been historically used. So the fact that Michael Johnson farmed this land from 1 AD until the time construction started is wholly irrelevant. The statute does not look at the historical nature of it. We know that the lien attached on October 26, 2015, when construction started on that piece of property. From Ryan Contracting, the statute is clear and the Minnesota Supreme Court was unequivocal that that is the date that the lien attaches. And so we need to look at what was the use of the land on October 26, 2015. Egg production has stopped. It is past tense. We don't need to look at the intent. You know, if we believe you can, but you don't. You also don't look at the history of what was done with that land. And so on October 26th, that was vacant, passive land as zoned by Dunn Township. Minnesota National Bank would argue that you need to take the historical perspective on it. And in fact, on page 9 of 16 in their brief, they say the property was in fact in agricultural use prior to construction. The prior use of the land does not matter. It's merely a present tense assertion of what that land is being done. What's paramount in this case, and what was paramount in Ryan, is the idea that in use, land has both active and passive uses. We do not dispute that while the soybeans were being harvested or by being grown and harvested, there was an active agricultural use of that. But that ceased 30 days before construction started. In order to escape the obvious conclusion that that factual scenario, the statute, and Ryan would require the court find, Minnesota National Bank argues for a definition of agricultural use that if a crop is planted, cared for, and harvested in a calendar year, that ag use is applicable for the entire calendar year for that real estate. And there's significant issues with this argument. First and foremost, if the legislature intended that agricultural use, if land was ever an agricultural use in a calendar year, they could have said that, and they did not. Instead, they said agricultural use is this, and axiomatically, when that agricultural use ends, In this instance, it goes back to passive commercial law. Also, Minnesota National argues that if you say, hey, the calendar year works, and that resolves all of our issues, it raises a plethora of other issues. For example, what happens with winter wheat? Winter wheat is planted in the fall, harvested in the late spring or summer. If the land leaves, you know, in the facts of this case, if that land is commercial with an agricultural allowance, what happens in June or July or August or September when the crop has been removed and the land is just sitting vacant? And in October, a general contractor comes out to begin a project requested by the landowner. They would have never known that winter wheat was planted on that land and would have no reason to know that a pre-lien notice would be required. I'm in Fargo. You guys are in St. Paul. I can drive down I-94 at any given time in January and see corn standing in a field because it doesn't have to be harvested. Once that ground is frozen, they can harvest that corn at any time. If they harvest that corn on January 1st of 2019, is that land in agricultural production for the remaining of the calendar year? That's nonsense. But that's what Minnesota National has to do because they want this court to ignore what the statute says, and they want this court to ignore Ryan. Indeed, they don't even raise the issue of active and passive use in either of their briefs. The district court got this right. They looked at the facts of this case. They considered the exception in 514.01 subdivision 4C. They read and analyzed Ryan. They understood what the court meant by in use. They understood what meant by active and passive use. In fact, in reaching their analysis, they recognized that there was an active use of the land in egg production, that it seized over a month prior to construction starting, that the land was zoned commercial, and after the crop was removed, it was passive commercial land. For those reasons and the well-made decision of the district court, Axia Contracting would request that this court affirm the district court and hold that pre-lien notice was not required. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gust. And I want to assure you that despite the background noise, we could not only see you throughout your argument, but we also could hear you very plainly. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll turn back to St. Cloud, to Stearns County.
Thank you. I just want to address two issues that Mr. Gust raised. The first of those being, this is not a problem that we have to worry about being applied to other farms because these other farms are zoned agricultural and this fact pattern won't repeat itself. And that goes back to the argument that I made earlier that it is not zoning which is determinative of what is or what use is. They cannot make the argument that this won't apply the same to every other farm in the state of Minnesota unless it's zoned commercial or non-agricultural. That language is not in the statute. They're trying to graft that language onto here to save their argument. But saying it doesn't make it the law. That's the first point. The second is, I still believe that if you take their argument to the logical extreme, that what is a soybean field on a field in the morning, and that it gets combined in the morning, and they haul, put it in semis and haul it to the elevator, that the minute that combine leaves the field and they bring a dozer in to start construction, you will be able to say that that field was not in agricultural use. It was passive. And that makes no sense from a practical standpoint. And we believe that you have to look at this with a dose of reality and say, that is a soybean field. That is ag use. I give pre-lien notice. And if you're not sure, you give pre-lien notice anyhow because there's no penalty for doing so if you don't need to. So we would ask that this court reverse the district court and hold that the lien of Axie is unenforceable. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both attorneys in this matter. The presented matters were well briefed and well argued. That does conclude our calendar, oral calendar for today. This court is adjourned.